Well, good morning, and happy Peach Fest weekend here in Romeo, Michigan. It is a busy week in town. If you've tried to get through downtown here this week, you may have noticed that we have a few visitors in town, and I hope you've been able to enjoy some of the festivities that they have going on, and I will remind you that we are a part of the festivities starting here tonight. The car show will be coming down through downtown, and about 7:30 they're saying for that to start, and if you're looking for a good spot to watch it, our front lawn works really, really well. It's a great spot to see that car show. And then following the car show tonight, we have a movie on the lawn. We're going to be showing Elemental for all those who want to come and join us. We'll have the popcorn popping and some water bottles available, and bring a blanket or chair and join us on the lawn for an evening here tonight. And then tomorrow, we are busy. We have things going on. First, for all the kids that would like to join us and the young at heart, we decided, right, we're going to let them all in, right, Margie? All right, we said yes. If you want to walk in the kids' parade, come join us. It's going to be at 8:45. We're going to meet here at the church. The kids' parade is the short route. You only have to walk through downtown here. You don't have to do the whole thing. So if you want to be a part of that, we invite you to do so. The theme for it is a jungle or a wildlife theme. If you have a costume, put it on. We'd love to see it. We have some shepherd's costumes and some animals in the drama room. If you want to come, we'll get you dressed up. But we'd love to fill our wagon with people, and we'll be throwing candy into those as we go. So that's at 8:45 tomorrow morning. And then after that, the men's group will be serving with help, of course, the Labor Day food booth out on the lawn. And that is going to be going all day long. So if you signed up, please remember your shift. Those sign-ups are still downstairs if you need to double-check. They'll be out there serving food. They're setting up today at 5. If you were part of the setup crew, please be here about 5 o'clock, and they'll be getting the tent and tables and all that stuff out ready to go, and then serving all day long tomorrow. So thank you to everyone who's volunteered, who's made it possible to be a part of the festivities this weekend. Did I miss any of the Peach Festival announcements? Anyone going once? And then come back for cleanup. Gwen got the most important part. At the end of the food booth, if you are able to come by and help us, we got tables to move. We got tents to tear down. We got things to carry. So, yes, thank you, Gwen. That is an important part. And then there's one other announcement I just wanted to share with you briefly. I know there's a few of them around here. I'm looking. Oh, there's Becky and Nancy and Steve. You may have noticed some members of our 200th anniversary. We've talked about it briefly, but in June of next year, we will celebrate our 200th anniversary as a congregation here in Romeo, Michigan. And that anniversary committee's been hard at work. And if you see them this morning, you might notice they're wearing some new outfits or some new shirts that we've gotten made. Those are our 200th anniversary celebration shirts. And they will have them as well as some other items available in the fellowship hall. Nancy's got one of the bags there. If you see her, she's got a little tote bag. And they have some polo shirts, some short sleeve shirts, some long sleeve shirts, some various items. So if you'd be interested in purchasing one of those, they'll have them those things downstairs for order. And we'll look forward to moving forward as we make some plans for that celebration going into the new year. So check them out here. And I'm just checking my notes one time. I think I've hit everything. I believe I have. So we have lots going on. We have other exciting things on the sign-up board downstairs for some upcoming events. I encourage you to check that out before you leave today. But right now we're here to worship. So we're going to worship our God. We're going to raise our voices. We're going to pray. We're going to celebrate God. So I will invite you to stand with me as we go to sing our opening hymn. It's number 569. We have a story to tell to the nations. Will you sing with me hymn number 569? Thank you. This morning I invite you to join me in our responsive opening prayer, the words of which will be on the screen. Followers of Christ, God calls us, just as we are, to live as truth tellers and gospel bringers in the world. God, we know you call us, and still we ask, who am I that you would call me? Like Moses standing before the burning bush, convinced of his unworthiness to lead your people out of bondage, we ask, who am I that you would call me? Like Peter, who thought he got it right, only to realize that who Jesus is doesn't meet his expectations of who a Savior should be, we ask, who am I that you would call me? As we raise this question to God today, we open our hearts to receive God's answer. You are my beloved children. You are my disciples. You are my people called to share the love of God for the transformation of the world. Amen. You may please be seated. Our first scripture reading for today comes from Romans. It's Romans chapter 12, verses 9 through 21, marks of the true Christian. Let love be genuine. Hate what is evil. Hold fast to what is good. Love one another with mutual affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Do not lag in zeal. Be ardent in spirit. Serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in affliction. Persevere in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints. Pursue hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be arrogant, but associate with the lowly. Do not claim to be wiser than you are. Do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If it is possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave room for the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Instead, if your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they are thirsty, give them something to drink. For by doing this, you will heap burning coals on their heads. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. This ends our first reading for today. And this time I'd like to invite any of the children or youth, the students that are with us that'd like to join me on the steps for our time with children.
Good morning, Ava.
Well, good morning, boys and girls. How are you doing today? Good? Was it a good week?
Yeah.
Did some of you do something this week? Did you go back to school? Yeah. I was just curious if you were saying it was a good week. I'm glad it was a good week if you went back and you had your first week. It kind of made me think, you know, last Sunday, I gave you guys your first pop quiz of the year. I had some questions for you, and they were a little bit of a trick question, I'll be honest. I was trying to trick you. But you guys did good with them. You got the answers. And this week I have another question for you. But I think this one will be the easiest question I could possibly ask you that you'd have to do. It's actually what you do on pretty much every assignment or any test that you take, because it has to do with something that you all have. You write your name. That was my question. Do you guys all have a name? You're the man with no name? I know that's not true. You all have a name, right? You all have a name. A name that you were probably given by your parents when you were born. They chose a name for you. Well, or maybe your brother chose your name because he said what your name was going to be. Yeah, that's true. Sometimes that happens. But somewhere along the line, someone gave you a name, right? And then something else happens, and it's happened in our family at least. Sometimes as you you're born and you grow and you get a little bit bigger. Sometimes you're given another name, or you might be given a nickname. Have any of you ever had a nickname? Yeah. Since you were a baby, you had a nickname. Yeah, sometimes you get nicknames, and those are names given to you by other people, sometimes by your family, by siblings, by your parents, sometimes by maybe cousins or friends of the family, who are someone at church maybe gives you your nickname. And so throughout our lives, I've had different names. I've had the names that my parents gave me and different nicknames. And I've had Daredevin, you're right, just like on my cape from VBS this year. I've had different names. But there's also one name, that one person who gave us a name that never changes. And do you know who that is? It's God. That's right. God has named each and every one of us. And you know what God calls us? You know what name he's given us? What? God's children, absolutely. He's called each and every one of us his children. And we're even told in the book of Revelation, which has some hard things to understand sometimes, but we're told that God has a book and that it has our names written in it of all those faithful, of all those believers, and that one day we'll be able to join God in heaven with our name written in that book. And I guess that just always gives me a lot of hope, a lot of encouragement to know who I am, that I might be Devin, I might be Daredevin, depending on the week, or as the wood splitter, you gave me that nickname, or as the youth at one point realized, I am Rev Dev, which I'm glad that nickname never really stuck around, but I've had different nicknames throughout my life, but throughout all those different names, I've always been God's child. And I find reassurance in that, and promise in that, and hope in that. And so I want to remind you guys of that, because I know as school starts, we write your name down lots of times on pieces of paper and all those different things you got to do. But just remember, every time you see that name, every time you hear your name called, remember that God always is calling your name too, as one of his children, as one of the people that he loves. So do that. Hopefully it'll help you get through some of those school days when things get a little tough. A reminder that you got people out there who love you, your parents, your family, your friends, and most importantly, God. All right? So before I send you back to Odyssey, will you guys say a prayer with me here? Can we pray? All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for these boys and girls. I thank you for each and every one of them and the people that they are, that you've created them to be, the light that they shine in this world. God, I thank you that you do call each of us by name. You know our names before anyone else ever did. You knew us as we were knit in our mother's womb. We're so thankful for that. So I pray your continued blessings be with each of these children, each of the students, each of the young people of our church. Continue to give them strength, to give them encouragement, to help them along their way, help them through their days, so that they know your love in their lives. Because we are so thankful for that love. We know you love us, and that's why we love you. And we pray in your holy name. Amen. Well, thank you guys for coming up. You're welcome to head back. Hope Miss Margie's already made her way around the corner. She's ready for you. And I'll see you after church, all right? Well, we celebrate the joys that are the children in our church. We also take time to celebrate other joys and concerns that we have and lift those needs to God. And I wanted to highlight this morning that we do have some flowers that were given this morning. They were supposed to be here last week and something happened. So this week we celebrate, we remember, we give thanks to Larry and Sherlyn for giving us the flowers in memory and honor of Donna and Mike. And we celebrate them we celebrate and remember with them today. So thank you guys. I have a couple of other prayer requests that were given to me before service. The first came from Connie, who we've been praying for her sister, Sherry. Connie's reporting that Sherry is out of the ICU now, but she still needs help breathing. She's still breathing on the machine. So we're going to continue to keep Sherry in our prayers for continued healing and strength for her, and our prayers with you too, Connie, as I know you've been traveling to see her and be with her too. And then the other one that I had to share, we've been praying for Margaret Lewis for the past few months, really. And I received word on Thursday evening that Margaret did end up passing away after her long battle with many different illnesses. And so I just would ask that you keep Margaret's family, the Lewis family, in your prayers as they make their preparations, as they prepare. The visitation will be Friday at Woojet Calcaterra, and then the service will be Saturday, if you would like to pay respects for that. But that is this weekend, so please keep the Lewis family in your prayers. But those were the ones that were shared with me prior to service today. Nathan and Dave have microphones. If you'd like to share, please just raise a hand and they'll bring a microphone to you this morning.
A prayer request for my wife's father, Frank. Frank is 91, an Air Force veteran from Korean War, and unfortunately in the nursing home, he has contracted COVID. So prayers for Frank McLaren, if you would please.
We'll keep Frank in our prayers, and as well as all those others in with him and those taking care of them through this time. Thank you, Steve.
Yesterday, Marion Costello, a very good friend of Amy's and mine, celebrated her 103rd birthday.
Amen.
And I would also like prayers for a couple of neighbors, Steve Prisby, as I've asked before. He's improving, but he's still very, very ill. And Laura Safey, who's had some cancer in the bone of her face, and she's in a lot of pain. So I ask for prayers for her.
Absolutely. Celebration of life, of 103 years of life, that we definitely celebrate. And continued prayers for your neighbors that are dealing with their those various things. And continued prayers for you, Ned, as I know you've been dealing with your back and your struggles with that.
Good morning. I'm asking for prayers for our dear friend here, Eleanor Meal. Her brother, Lester, just passed away early this morning. And so please pray for her and her family. And also prayers for my brother-in-law, still having a hard time with his heart condition. His name is Dale.
Thank you, Linda. Prayers for you, Eleanor, and your family as you mourn the loss of a loved one. And continued prayers for your brother as well, Linda. Thank you.
Just thinking this morning when I came in, and there's so much excitement in this room this morning, about all the people that we have in our church who put together things for all of us to do. And I'm thinking of the ball game, I think it's this Friday, and all tomorrow, and the kids in the parade, and gosh, what else? We have an Adventee coming up, and everything. So with praise for all of the people who take the responsibility to come and be a part of all of those things, as well as planning them.
Absolutely, Gwen. I will add an amen to that. There is life and there is activity in this church, and we are thankful for that. So thank you, Gwen.
Tigers won, and if anybody, I need a ride for Labor Day tomorrow. So if anybody come get me a ride, I really appreciate it. Okay, thank you.
We will see if we can get you a ride there, Debbie. We'll see what we can do after church. Did you have another one back there, Dave? Is there anyone else?
Continued prayer for Beth.
Continued prayers for Beth as we keep her in our thoughts. Thank you, Nathan. Well, then I invite us to take these that we've heard, those joys that we've celebrated, but also those needs and those who are mourning a loss. Let us take a moment and lift them, as well as others that we may know in our lives, in a moment of silent prayer. Father God, as it was said here this morning, we have much to be thankful for, much to be joyful for life and activity and ministry and service, for vibrancy in our church. We are thankful. Lord, we are thankful because we know it is done to bring honor and glory to your name, to share that message, to share that promise with others. So we are thankful to be a part of it, thankful to be able to do our part in serving you. Lord, here today we have heard of the needs that are present, needs in our congregation, needs in the lives of our loved ones, family, friends. We know that there is need in this world. There is hurt and brokenness. There is darkness and sin. So, Lord, we pray once again that your loving presence, your Holy Spirit, descend upon each and every one of us. Let it fall across our community, across our country, across this world, to bring a reminder of the hope and promise that is found in you, of the love you so freely share with all of us. Let us not grow complacent. Let us not think we've done enough, done all that we can do. Let us recognize that there are places for us still to reach, people for us still to share the good news with. Let us continue to strive to be your children, your disciples at work in this world, sharing the promise that we know in our hearts, the truth that was told to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. For we are so thankful in his name. We work in his name. We serve in his name. And today we lift our voices together to pray this prayer, the prayer that he taught us, as we say together, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I'll invite you to stand with me again for our next hymn. It's number 338, Where He Leads Me. Will you stand as you're able for hymn number 338?
Thank you.
You may please be seated. We've already recognized, we've already acknowledged all that happens through this church, all that happens through our ministries and through the life of our church. But it's all only possible because of the faithful giving of so many. So many faithful. I said we are preparing for 200 years as a congregation here in Romeo, Michigan. And that's 200 years as our congregation. There's a lot of churches who change hands, who different churches have worshipped in and out of buildings. That is not the case for this church. This may be our second building we've been in, but our congregation can trace its roots back to 1824. Nancy has done it. She's shown us the path, the pastors, the many lay leaders of this church that go back 200 years. It's 200 years of people who have been faithful to God, faithful in their giving, faithful in supporting the missions and ministries of the church. And it's an awesome thing. So I thank you for your continued contributions, continued giving. We have our offering box, of course, on the wall here behind the organ if you wish to leave a gift today. And of course, our online giving is available at the website, romeoumc.com. We give thanks and we offer this word of prayer for our collection today. God of power, God of might, we, like Peter, we sometimes struggle with the image of a Savior sent to die. We think we seem to be doing great in following Christ, but we too stumble at various points. Perhaps we stumble because we know that what follows Christ's call for us to follow is that we must deny ourselves. We must pick up our cross. We must be willing to follow Him. Lord, as we bring our gifts today, we bring gifts for the work of building Your kingdom here on earth. But we pray You help us continue to learn. Learn what it means to follow. Learn what it means to deny, to carry, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. For we pray all this in Christ's holy and powerful name. Amen. Our second scripture reading for this morning comes from Matthew's Gospel. It's Matthew 16, verses 21 through 27. Jesus foretells His death and resurrection. From that time on, Jesus began to show His disciples that He must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took Him aside and began to rebuke Him, saying, "God forbid it, Lord! This must never happen to You." But He turned and said to Peter, "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." Then Jesus told His disciples, "If any wish to come after me, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with His angels in the glory of His Father, and then He will repay everyone for what has been done." This, my friends, is the Word of God. It's for all of us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You know, I have to admit something. As I read this text from Matthew's Gospel this week, as I read through it and was preparing, it actually brought me a certain amount of joy to read those words. And I know that sounds like a bit of a strange thing to say, having just heard those words. Those aren't a particularly joyful passage that we read. I can find a lot better joyful passages if I was looking for joy in the Bible. That's not where I would go normally. But the reason for the joy I felt, it didn't have anything to do with the specific words that we read on the page, but my joy was found in reflecting on where we found Simon Peter here again this week. We've been walking with the disciples. We've been walking with Simon Peter specifically these past few weeks. And what was the phrase that Jesus just directed at him here? "Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me." I don't know about you, but being called Satan by Jesus Christ, That has to be a pretty low moment, doesn't it? That has to knock you down a peg or two, or three or four, or a hundred. Get behind me, Satan. You are a hindrance to me. Now, before you think my joy was found in seeing Peter knocked so low or being dressed down like that, that wasn't it, at least not directly. But as I read of this encounter between Peter and Jesus, it made me reflect on those encounters we've read about over the past 3-4 weeks that we've been walking this path. Because it was just last week that Jesus asked the disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they responded. But then he asked, "Who do you say that I am?" And it was Peter. Peter who stepped forward to say, "You are the Messiah. You are the Son of the living God." And Peter received his accolades. He received a blessing from God for making that statement. He was told that, "You are the rock upon which my church will be built, Peter. You get it. You are one of my chosen." And if we go back a week before that, we had the disciples out on that boat, out in the storm on the sea. And we have Jesus walking up to them on the water. And of course, it was Peter again who says to Jesus, "Call me out of the boat. Show me. Let me see that you are the true Messiah. You are the chosen one." And Peter did. Jesus told him to step out of that boat. And he walked on the water until he didn't. Until he lost that focus, until he lost that faith. And I think that, in essence, is why these verses brought me a certain amount of joy as I read them this week. Because over these past few weeks, we've watched Peter. We've watched Jesus as proclaimed rock of the church. We've watched him have his ups, his high moments of praise. But we've seen him get down to some pretty low lows as well. We've seen his journey of faith. We've seen what it took for him to follow Jesus. He may have been the rock that Jesus saw, but he was also human. A human who made mistakes. A human who had many victories in his life, but a human who also had to meet a few defeats along the way. He wasn't perfect in his faith, but Jesus didn't need him to be perfect in his faith. Because Peter lived into the good and the bad moments of that journey. He lived as one who knew he was called by Jesus to serve. And that's why I found joy in this encounter. Because it was a reminder to me that when I have those days, when all of us have those days, when we're just feeling a little off, feeling a little down, feeling like maybe we just don't get it. We don't get what God is doing. We don't get what we are doing with our lives. Maybe sometimes those days stretch into weeks or months, and we're struggling to understand what's happening in our lives. But it's even during those times we have to recognize we're in good company. Because we're no different than those faithful followers who walked and talked with Jesus, like Peter and the other disciples. Those chosen ones of Jesus, they had their ups and downs. They had their good times and their bad times, even as they walked side by side with Christ. And through those ups and downs, Jesus was there, just as Jesus is with us through our struggles. And yes, Jesus will offer a rebuke when necessary. "Get behind me, Satan." Jesus will tell us if we've stepped out of line. But just as importantly, Jesus will be there to reassure, to offer encouragement, to offer blessing in our lives when we need it. Offer to love us and pull us up out of those valleys that we too often find ourselves stuck in. Because in reality, that's where Peter's outburst from this week came from. He was at a pretty low point, a low, low valley that he found himself in. He found himself there because, as I said, he had just proclaimed that this is the Son of the living God. This is the Messiah. We heard that last week. And then this week, that Messiah comes and makes a statement, comes and makes a claim that Peter just couldn't understand, that he couldn't comprehend. Because Jesus told those disciples that he must go to Jerusalem, a place where he'd already met a lot of opposition. He must go there and undergo great suffering at the hands of the leaders there. And he must die at those hands. And frankly, none of this made any sense to Peter. He didn't understand why this was going to happen, why this had to happen. He couldn't comprehend how the chosen one, the Messiah, the Christ, would suffer and die in such a way. He didn't understand that there was anyone on this earth who could possibly get an upper hand on him to make that happen. That anyone could wield enough power, enough might to have this happen to Jesus. And if we want to be real honest with ourselves, I don't know that any of our responses would have been much different than Peter's. If we were standing in his shoes, wouldn't we have felt the same way? Having seen all that Jesus had done, all the miracles, all that he had accomplished, having experienced it and felt it in his heart, his soul, and his bones, having known that this was God's chosen one, the Messiah, wouldn't we think the same thing? How could anyone possibly put Jesus to death? It just doesn't fit with what we think, with how we think. It didn't work for what Peter or any of the Jewish people of the time expected of the Messiah, of what he was going to do, of what he was going to be. Their conception of what the Messiah was a mighty warrior coming to lead them to victory. And this didn't fit with what Jesus was saying. This didn't work for them. So according to Matthew, Peter took Jesus aside and rebuked him. I can't say that without laughing out loud. How in the world did Peter think he could rebuke Jesus? How did he think that he would have any right to do so? Peter has the gumption to take Jesus aside and say, "No, Lord, this can't happen. You're wrong. That's not what you're here for. That's not what you're going to do. I know what you are. I know who you are. I know what you can do. This can't happen to you." Peter had his assumptions. He had his expectations, and they weren't being met. His hopes of what Jesus was and what was coming weren't being fulfilled. And those preconceived notions, they left him trapped in a place of doubt and fear over what was coming for Jesus. But then I came back around, and rather than just placing this on Peter, I thought, how would I have acted? How would any of us have acted in that moment? Because we probably aren't all that different than Peter in our thoughts. We all have our own ideas, our own thoughts, our own assumptions about what the Savior should be doing, how he should look and act, even today in our world. And all too often, Jesus doesn't usually fit into the mold that we like to make for him. I had a colleague who, in a conference call one time, said that if we were given a chance to choose, we would likely pick any number of superheroes or secret agent types to be our Messiah, to be our Savior, rather than a carpenter's kid from Galilee. And I thought about that, and it kind of makes me chuckle, kind of makes me laugh a little, but it's probably not that inaccurate. We would pick those individuals who have qualities that we think are important. We would pick them based on what we think they could do for us, how they could help, how they could save us. And just like Jesus said to Peter, he would probably turn to us and say, "Yes, but you set your mind on human things, not on divine, not on heavenly things." Because that's too often where Peter and our thoughts go, our concerns go. We think in terms of battles and punishment and power and winning. All the things the people of Israel wanted from their Messiah, that's what they were looking for. They wanted him to come and make right all the wrongs that had happened to them. They wanted him to vanquish all those who had wronged them. Send those who had oppressed and enslaved and harmed them packing. Fight the battle. Punish the wicked. Wield your power. Win this battle for us, Superman. Win this battle for us, Jesus. We can't help ourselves. That is where our mind goes. Like our ancestors, we can't help but think too often in human terms. But that's what the scripture tells us, what Jesus tells us. He tells us that Jesus' focus, it was consistently on something else. He shows us that something else. He shows us the power of presence, of showing up for one another, of community, of connection, of service, of love for one another. He shows us the power of sacrificial love. That's where Jesus placed his focus. That's what was important to Jesus. And last week, I encouraged all of us to stop and consider the question that Jesus posed to his disciples. Who do you say that I am? Who is Jesus to you? And I do believe it's a question we must be able to answer for ourselves. We must be able to share that answer with others, to be able to know and proclaim who Jesus Christ is. But after we've answered that question, after we've been able to sit and wonder and ponder that, we have another question we must ask. It's the one that's been on the screens this whole morning. Who am I? Who am I as a follower of Jesus Christ? Am I one who is willing to listen, willing to follow, willing to learn, even if it means putting aside my thoughts, my wishes, my desires, even if it means following into those difficult and uncomfortable places that Christ calls us? Or am I willing to respond to Jesus' call to take up your cross and follow me? And here's the thing, my friends, here's the really hard thing about this, about making this statement. Because responding to this call, making this statement of who we are, it's not a proclamation that you're going to get it all right. That you're going to be perfect in each and every and all situations you find yourself in. Because for all the good work he did, we've read about Peter's journey. And he made mistakes. Throughout the Gospels, we see those times when he didn't just quite get it. When he misspoke. When he misstepped. When he made mistakes. And he stepped out of line with what Jesus was calling him to do. But those mistakes he made, they are a reminder for all of us that Jesus never stopped loving him, never stopped trying to reach out and teach him, that Jesus was there calling and guiding and encouraging throughout it, preparing Peter to do great things. Jesus is still preparing us to do great things. Jesus is waiting for us to stake our claim, to write down in our book, in his book, who we are, to declare, this is who I am. I am a child of God. And then to tell the world, to show the world who you are. I am chosen. I am loved. I am a child of God. I can't help but give thanks to God for a sacrificial love that's like no other. A love that was poured out on that cross for each and every one of us. One that is so freely given. Nothing we've done to earn it, nothing we've done that we deserve it, yet given for each and every one of us that can be claimed by each and every one of us. I'm thankful this morning that we can take a moment and celebrate that love. We can remember that love. Through partaking in the Lord's Supper, through sharing in that same last meal that the disciples shared in with Jesus. So we're going to prepare for the Lord's Supper here today, so I encourage you to take a moment to center your hearts, center your thoughts, center your minds on that love, on that sacrificial love of Jesus Christ as we celebrate Holy Communion. In just a moment, the ushers will come forward and those who are serving will come forward to receive, and then the ushers will go through the aisles to dismiss you, to invite you to come forward to receive as well. There will be the bread and the cups and the plate. You may come forward and take your piece of bread to receive and then your cup to receive. After doing so, you are welcome to kneel at the kneeling rail if you'd like for a moment of prayer for yourself, and then return by the outside aisles. We'll again have our right side come down this aisle, our center and left aisle. You'll come down the aisle to my left here. Come forward to receive and get your gifts of bread and cup, and we will take Holy Communion tomorrow together. Before we do so, I'll invite you to join me in the liturgy, the words of which will be on the screens. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, let us confess our sin before God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors. And we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Jesus Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. This proves God's love towards us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. it is right and a good and joyful thing, always and everywhere, to give thanks to you, Almighty God, Creator of heaven and earth. You have made from one every nation and people to live on all the face of the earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn saying together, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. On the night in which Christ gave himself up for us, he took the bread. He broke it, gave thanks to God, and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, all of you. This is my body, which is broken for you for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, when the supper was over, he took the cup. Again giving thanks to God, he blessed it and gave it to his disciples and said, Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And so in remembrance of these your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice in union with Christ's offering for us as together we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ, redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen. Let me give just a couple of quick instructions. I will remind us that it is the practice and belief of the United Methodist Church that this is the Lord's Supper, that these gifts of bread and cup are for all who wish to receive. You do not need to be a member of our church or a member of any church. You simply have to love Jesus. Want to know that love in your heart to come forward to receive. We also do have the pre-filled cups. If you feel that you prefer to have one of those, you can have one of those sealed cups. They will be here with on the tray that you can take as you come forward. And finally, if you're unable to come forward, if that's difficult for you to do so, please don't feel pressure to do. Just catch the usher's eye. And when we're done serving, we'll be glad to bring the bread and the cup to you in the pews. So, will those who are serving and the ushers, will you please come forward at this time? Table is set. Please come forward and receive. poured out for us, what God, what Jesus did for us, I invite you now to join me in taking a moment to proclaim what it is we believe through the words of the Apostles' Creed that's been repeated by so many of our ancestors over the centuries. Will you join me in repeating the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Let's all stand if you're able for our last song.
Splendor of the King, clothed in majesty, let all the earth rejoice, all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, and darkness tries to hide. It trembles at his voice, trembles at his voice. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great is our God. And age to age he stands, and time is in his hands. Beginning and the end, beginning and the end. The Godhead three in one, Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? Oh, we'll see how great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And oh, see how great is our God. The name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing, how great is our God. Name above all names, worthy of all praise, my heart will sing, how great is our God. How great is our God? Sing with me, how great is our God? And all will see how great is our God.
Amen.
Receive this good news. You are beloved children of God, called and equipped to be agents of divine love in this world. Remember, you do not go alone. God goes before you, God goes with you, and God is behind you wherever you go. Go with God's blessing. Go to serve this day. Amen.
Thank you, Nathan.